Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Merry Christmas once again. It's Dave Plyer in for Bob Surratt this morning. 2020 will go down as the year of streaming and Zooming. There was absolutely no way of knowing at the end of 2019 what a tumultuous year 2020 would be. Racial tension, political divide, wildfires, hurricanes, and a flu-like disease that seemed to America, at least, to be somebody else's problem. What it did was upend our very livelihoods with so many friends and family that we lost. As we close out the year, it's time to look back on Chicago and the state of Illinois with a year in review with Chicago TV legend and my pal, Walter Jacobson. Happy holidays to you, Walter.
Well, David, thank you. Thank you for the wish, and thank you for inviting me in, even though it has, as I agree with you, been a terribly, terribly difficult year.
Yeah, I mean, just for everybody, you know, I would think the top of your list would be the pandemic. I mean, really, from the city of Chicago to the state of Illinois, I mean, that has been the biggest impact for
us. Yeah, no, there's no question about it, even though my being, like you, a political junkie and watch television to find out what was going on in the national and local elections, the overwhelming thing in my mind was always the pandemic. I feel
Absolutely.
Like I've just been stuck at home, and I don't know how to use Netflix, so I haven't even seen a movie.
We have to figure that out for you. We got to figure that out for you. Unrest in our city, what I have to would say, is a close second. From shootings to protests, street violence in the heart of our city to looting, statues removed, our city's been ravaged by all this. And to a degree, we didn't get our hands around it soon enough. We vilified our police, which is tragic in and of itself. It was just a tough year in the city of Chicago.
And particularly tough, David, I think, on Mayor Lightfoot. She wasn't prepared for this kind of an attack on her system in government, on her life in general. And she's made, in my opinion, several mistakes. She seems to recover okay, but she, in some ways, is a little bit like Donald Trump. She does not like to admit that she's made a mistake. She made a mistake after the first rush on Michigan Avenue when things were broken into and she wasn't prepared for it. And then, in my opinion, she overdid it for the next rush of trouble on Michigan Avenue, and that caused more people to be more upset with her and not knowing what was going on.
Well, and when you think about it too now, I mean, we're talking, you know, now we're Christmas Eve here in Chicago, where you would see hustling and bustling on the streets and on State Street shopping around. It's just not present. I mean, and it's not just because of the pandemic. People became afraid to come downtown to our city, to walk around, to go to a museum, to do anything, because we didn't get our hands around this early.
Yep, we all are afraid. We all are angry. We are all disappointed and frustrated. And the worst of it is that there's nothing we can do about it. You know, I really miss going to my neighborhood restaurants. My love of life is to walk through neighborhoods and talk to people. I just haven't been able to do any of that. Yeah. And when I walk around my own neighborhood on the near north side, I see blue flashing lights all evening, all light into the morning. And it's difficult. It's really hard.
Well, it means the police are on the streets. I mean, you certainly see that on Michigan Avenue, that they are every block. There's a squad car there. But I think there was some confusion even for the public on what was protesting and what was looting. It was two different things. One was a crime and one was freedom of speech. And, they got mixed up in between each other, and we didn't take care of the looters up front, and I think that's really what shut down our city and still continues to.
Yeah, and you know, it's hurting her in many ways. For example, she's having serious trouble with the police, and she will be having more serious trouble as these weeks go on. Catanzara is a very tough negotiator, and he's very open. I mean, he's the president of the police union. Mm-hmm. She knows that. He knows that. He knows what the police want and what they say, and he is pushing her around, and I don't think she has the experience or the strength though she appears to be stronger in my mind than she is, and she's letting Catanzara take advantage of her, and he's threatening her and the aldermen who have supported her in the city council for her budget, And she's got some very tough negotiations up, and she's got to learn how to handle criticism better than she's handled it so far.
Absolutely, absolutely. In the recent press conferences, you can see she's frustrated even at the reporters that are there asking her questions. And those are the people that are just trying to get to the facts. And she gets, you know, don't shoot the messenger.
That's right.
And the police right now don't feel like the mayor has their back. And that's very difficult every day to go on the job and serve and protect our families and friends in the city of Chicago when you don't feel like you're supported.
Yep, and that's normal for the relationship between police and mayors and between police and members of U.S. Congress and the state of Illinois, House of Representatives and Senate. But she has generated distrust with the police and distaste, which I think may be in many ways more important with the police, and especially since the president of the union is really a roughneck and he is driving her crazy right now. And I don't think she knows what to do about it, and she keeps putting off the dealing with the contract that's been now expired for 3 years, and she doesn't know how yet to handle that temper of hers. Yeah. So she's alienated members of the city council, the Black Caucus especially. She's in for trouble. I get the impression, and I have actually, David, heard rumors that she's kind of had it with these troubles and running this city. I mean, it's almost impossible to do, and that I hear that she's been kind of poking around for a possibility to go into Washington if she can and work for Biden. I don't believe it. I don't think that she's done anything in that way, but that's the talk, and sometimes the talk turns into reality.
I mean, from a leadership perspective, it's obvious that, you know, nobody has been through something like this before, so it would have been a challenge for anybody. But you at some point have to get on some level ground, get your feet on the ground, and help navigate and figure this out and be a leader.
Yeah, the trouble is partially that when she first came into office, she was feeling very independent and very strong, and she threatened the aldermen by saying she was going to take away their God-given, as they see it, traditional right to handle zoning and jobs in their wards, and got her into trouble.
We're talking to the legendary Walter Jacobson on this Christmas Eve morning, and there's more after a look at your holiday weather. Dave? Dave Plyer in for Bob Surratt. Merry Christmas Eve to all of you. We are in studio with Walter Jacobson with his year in review. Let's take a look a little bit at the state. You know, biggest story, I would think, for you, as you've covered our speaker for decades, are we finally seeing the end of Mike Madigan's reign in the state of Illinois?
Well, there are a lot of people who think we are. There are a lot of people who want it to be the end of his reign. But I'm among the few, I guess, now who think those who oppose him better be careful. Mike Madigan doesn't lose. And he's had a battle with the newspapers, particularly the Tribune, for the last 10 years. And he fights them off every time. I mean, the Tribune has gone crazy about Mike Madigan and his problem. Every time there's a step in either direction, good or bad for Madigan downstate, the Tribune runs huge stories. And you know, now because the papers have cut back on staff and cut back on paper, but they've included pre-done stories. But every story about Madigan drums up everything that's been said about him in the past. And they're painting a picture of a terrible guy who's got to go. But I don't know, David. I mean, he's only 6 votes shy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. 6 votes, huh?
Yeah, he needs 6 votes, and he's got the Black Caucus behind him. And he has been a positive force governmentally in the state of Illinois for the Democratic Party and the left wing in politics and government. You know, he's been strong in favor of labor. He's been strong in favor of teachers. He's been strong in every issue that Rauner fought him on and he won on and caused Rauner to lose the election, his reelection campaign. And it's because people love him in his district. Love him in Chicago. He's got, you know, he's just...
Do they love him or do they fear him?
Oh, both.
Okay.
I mean, the politicians probably fear him. Mm-hmm. The people think that, you know, he's a Chicago Irish Southwest Side politician. So, and he's done good things for people. He's a roughneck too, like Catanzara, and he's made serious mistakes, and he's bullied the press, and he's bullied his people, but he's bullied them for reasons that the people like to have him in that office. I don't think, when I say people, I should be careful, because I mean people in his circle, people around him. I don't mean all the people, because all the people, most of the people outside of those in politics who don't know what he does governmentally, those people, most of those people, most of us, really, not you or not I anyway, think that he isn't. Think that he has done good things.
Well, let's move on to the governor. You know, he's, you know, again, new in position. We're in a pandemic, but pretty much shut down the state, his daily briefings, and now a almost $4 billion budget deficit, which we all saw coming, right?
Oh, boy, did we. And it's going to get worse. We're $4 billion short on the budget right now. He has been saying, and there's every reason to believe that he's accurate on this, that we're going to be almost $5 billion between 2 years from now. He's had bad luck, David. He's a very smart guy, and he knows the ins and outs of business. But he's crippled by this pandemic. He's got 2 years to go, and every incumbent 2 years from now is going to be in trouble, because every debatable issue in a campaign will finally wrap around what happened during this pandemic. And, you know, there's nothing he could do about that. And he had a solution, I think.
The fair tax?
Yeah. But
see,
I didn't get it.
I mean,
the fair tax was probably a bad idea for people who don't like to get taxed. But it was a good idea in the sense that it would give him some money to run the state.
Absolutely. Because I was going to say, I'm a small business owner, and, you know, a lot of the tax breaks and things that we got from Washington, you know, allowed us to free up some money to hire more people.
Pritzker just got a very bad break, and I think it'll come to hurt him 2 years from now. And the bad break, of course, is the pandemic. There was nothing he could do about it. Listen, when I understand what you're saying about small businesses. I've been on the air regularly condemning the loss of support of small businesses and just people. They desperately need help. What can Pritzker do to give them the help? He's now cutting $700 million off the budget for this year, and that means cutting back on services, cutting back on personnel. I don't know what else he could do.
Well, the Paycheck Protection Program isn't
not
going
working.
To include. It's not good.
No.
Well, it did help. I mean, it helped my business. But what I'm saying is, the next one isn't. There's not money set aside for the states or the cities. So, you know, again, they're going to struggle through that. Restaurants in our city. You mentioned this earlier. Our livelihood's gone, and I know there's, you know, conflicting information about whether the rates have gone up if you've been to a restaurant or not. I mean, most of the research that I've seen, that is not the case. But the small businesses in our city, the movie theaters, Broadway, Chicago museums, their survival is teetering on the brink. I mean, our city, the way we knew it, might not be the same 6 months, 9 months from now.
Right. And it's just heartbreaking, especially for guys like you and me who love to go to restaurants, neighborhood restaurants. Yeah. And I feel so bad for all of them. I feel bad for me, too, for not being able to go. I've got a restaurant in my neighborhood that I've been going to brunch for many, many years. And I talked to the owner just the other day, and she said that she's really afraid she's not going to make it through the year. And that's happening to so many. I don't know where the money can come from.
Yeah.
Money, some of it would have come from that income tax idea that Pritzker had.
Right.
And some of it, or most of it, should actually come from the federal government, but that's not yet.
Well, hopefully some normal will begin to enter our lives in 2021. And Walter, when it does, let's go get a cocktail, okay?
Oh, for sure. Or before.
Or before.
And after.
And after. I like it. All right. Thank you, my friend, and happy holidays. The legendary Walter Jacobson. Thank you, sir.
And thank you, David. I always love coming on with you.
Always my pleasure.